The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is this?
There is nobody that holds a candle to the king.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe you build some tag teams here.
We are the absolute best tag team of all time, bar none, the greatest tag team of all time.
Jay White's going to be a star, no matter where he goes.
I'm going to be the guy that spits in the face of cliches. I'm going to be the guy that tells time to f*** off.
Man, what in the world is Joe doing? Just standing. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just likes Jericho's music as much as I do.
Cedric Alexander, victorious tonight in your return to 205 Live. Tell us how you felt out there.
For the first time in 2 months, I felt like I was at peace. Being out in front of the WWE Universe is exactly where I need to be. It's like I never left. Now I plan to pick up where I left off, and that's slowly climbing my way into that Cruiserweight Championship picture.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome everybody to Wrestling to the Maxes, episode 248, part 2, and tonight we are going to get into some awesome stuff. We're going to talk about Jinder Mahal. That's right, he is your WWE champion now after following Backlash, and of course we'll talk about some of our opinions on that, the landscape of WWE with Jinder Mahal as their WWE champion over there on SmackDown. Plus, we're also going to be talking a little Ryback. That's right, he's in the news once again. We'll also be getting into some other great news topics, you know, so stay tuned for all that. Plus, we're also going to be talking Best of the Super Juniors. We got a couple nights we are going to get into as well. So we've got a great show for you guys. Plus, we're going to crown a Superstar of the Week. It's going to be exciting. I am looking forward to it. I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And, you know, everybody, if you want to know or maybe find some of our other great content that we offer, just to let you guys know, make sure you go check out W2Mnet.com. Go find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And the way you do it is just go search out Wrestling to the Max and subscribe, rate, and review. Along with, if you're enjoying their website and you're just like, man, I love all these other great podcasts and everything that you guys have to offer, what, you know, is actual streaming on iTunes or wherever you find the podcast, well, that's the W2M Network. So if you love everything that we have, the Wrestling to the Max family, go over there and subscribe there. Well, you know, besides all the business part of this, let's get into some of the interesting stuff that's, you know, kind of going on right now. I've just been super busy, just to let you guys know. I mean, I try my best to watch, you know, a lot of wrestling. And right now that we're not covering Impact, it kind of helped me, guys, because I've been preparing for this DJ gig I got going this weekend and working on some research and doing a few things editing-wise for audio. So it's been kind of, you know, one of those, I get a chance to take a break and put that on the back burner. But at the same time, it is kind of feeling weird on a Thursday not to watch Impact for me. I'll be watching it this weekend for sure, though. So that's just, you know, my news for the night. Anything going special with you, Paul?
Not entirely. Celebrated a buddy's birthday today. Happy birthday, Ben. And that's really about it.
Well, that's cool, man. So that's awesome. Yeah, happy birthday to Ben. Sean, man, anything going on in your world?
Just work and the usual stuff. And Naya is about to be done with school. So she's going to start this cool summer camp where they'll be doing all these like really cool things, you know, doing ballet and dancing, and it's cooking classes and all this kind of stuff. So I'm excited for her to be doing cool stuff, you know.
Yeah, now you can kind of say, Anaya, dinner, make it happen, baby. You know how to cook now.
Exactly.
It's time to earn your due around here, baby. No, that's awesome, man. That's really, really cool. I'm excited for it, man. You know, my daughter is really into, you know, doing those type of things as well. And, you know, she's doing swim class and various other activities this summer. So it's a fun time for the kids, but it also means less of a break sometimes for the parents. But, hey, it's worth it. You know, good times all around. So, well, that's what's going on with us, guys. Just a little sneak peek into what's going on. We are, of course, now going to jump into some wrestling news, so we will be right back with Quick Hits right after this.
It's time for
awesome
wrestling news.
All right. Well, let's start off by talking about 205 Live. Of course, we do the review every week, but apparently our review is probably viewed by as many people as watch the show, I'm assuming, because the network numbers are not very high. So I'm imagining people, if they listen to our show and don't watch the show, that's high praise. So I don't know. This is kind of crazy. But needless to say, 205 Live is not doing that great on the network. They really continually rank very low when it comes to the network numbers, considering all the other shows they have. They don't even really rank in the top 20, guys. I mean, Sean, that's kind of pathetic.
That's bad. Older pay-per-views aren't ranking it. I mean, like, you know, just that really shows people just do not care about that show, don't care about the people on that show. And that's sad because, you know, you have great talent on that show that gets seen by a small amount of people. And, you know, when there's talk of could the women's tournament just replace 205 Live for a certain amount of time to have it go away, I mean, geez, that's not good.
Yeah, which really sucks because 205 Live was awesome this week, so definitely if you haven't watched it and you listen to this show, go watch Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick because it is absolutely worth your time. But it's not, I mean, maybe we shouldn't be too surprised. People as far as casuals and whoever probably watches Raw aren't all that interested because they're not a large part of Raw, so why do you need to watch a show that's dedicated to them if you don't care about them on the big stage? I mean, that's really all I can think of because it's starting to come along, and if you've been along for the ride, surely you've got to be invested in some of these guys. But otherwise, it's just sort of, well, here they are, and some of the stories aren't all that great.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those situations, I think, for the casual fans. They've seen WWE bring out various shows and them not be very exciting. And let's talk about maybe Main Event. Let's talk about Superstars. They're just kind of there. And I think that that's their fear is 205 Live is just there. And I don't think they really even give it a chance a lot of times, you know. I think that's the stigma we've kind of attached to those type of shows. Heck, I mean, still amazes me people that watch NXT. It just blows my mind that people are skipping that. And not a large percentage of people are skipping NXT, but you still have those people who love watching Raw, who love watching SmackDown. They're very religious about it, but they're not watching NXT. I'm thinking to myself, You're missing out on so much more than you really ever know, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, once again, they don't. Not everybody has a wrestling, you know, podcast.
I mean, you got to think about it like from just SmackDown and Raw are 5 hours, you know. Like, Do you watch your? You can watch five of your shows in the hour that you watch two of WWE shows. So then you go on the network and you're expected to watch an hour of NXT. And then, oh, another hour of 205 Live. And then, you know, talking smack is anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. And, you know, that UK show comes on and that's another hour. And it's like, imagine that that's what? Almost 8 hours of just WWE and then a pay-per-view. That's 11 hours. So, man, all that just to watch WWE every week, potentially, and that's 11 regular shows you could watch, or, you know, that's almost three games if it's football, or, you know, five games if it's soccer, or whatever, you know, anything. Like, just, so you got to think about that, like, the time investment that you're putting in, that's a lot.
Yeah, that definitely is. So, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's one of those where WWE kind of saturates our, you know, television screens full of content. But the problem is do people actually have that time? And not only that, do they want to spend that much time with the wrestling? You know, we have other things like, you know, like you said, Sean, other TV shows, movies, other forms of entertainment, whether it be news watching or, I don't know, bowling. I don't know what all the people watch, but I'm just saying there's so many other things.
All those bowling.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I know.
I watch it quite often when it's on CBS or anything like that, too.
Yeah. And I didn't knock it. I'm just saying that there's people watching it, you know? So, just like I'm not knocking our 205 Live review shows. I love those shows. I've made the joke about, you know, maybe people view as much as watch that show, but, you know, we may even sometimes beat, you know, I don't know. But I'm just saying, it's the fact that WWE just does not have a lot of fanfare for 205 Live, and we're going to continue covering it because we think it's worth it. So, you know, hopefully other people do,
I mean, if they have more shows like this week, then
definitely.
Yeah. So, there you go. There. If you have someone you know that doesn't watch it, make sure they watch this week. Or if you don't watch it, you watch this week, so. Let's move on and talk about something else that's interesting. We found out that Billy Corgan is almost done with his deal with NWA. That's right. He is about to own it. 97% of it's done, but not everything is completely, you know, processed through. We do know that there are some names attached to this, and it's really cool that we, you know, finally got a little bit of information. We have Aiden O'Shea. We also have Jay Bradley attached to this. So they're, you know,
same
probably
guy.
Gonna be joining. Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, you're right.
Which is indie name? I know Aiden O'Shea. I don't know the Jay Bradley name. So
Jay Bradley was his name on the indies before he got to TNA.
Okay, that's why I don't know that. I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, I know Aiden. So anyway, same guy. At least one person's attached. But you know, I'm sure Paul, there's probably other people attached that we just haven't got word on.
Yeah, that's the only one that's really been released, other than the fact that the same person who was doing the music for TNA at the time when Billy was running it is also going to be joining him up in this deal. And of course, Dave Lagana, we already know about. So, at least there's some names to go along with this, even though, I mean, Jay Bradley probably does nothing for anybody at this point, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the world's lighting on fire right now for Jay Bradley, but hey, you know, you got to start somewhere.
So what do you guys think about this whole deal with Billy Corgan, though? And he's almost done with it. I mean, are we going to be, you know, should we be excited at all? I mean, we talked about this before, but this is almost done. I'm a little surprised it's not completely done.
You never know how long legal stuff can take, you know. So I haven't a clue really what to expect other than just Billy Corgan wackiness. And I don't know how much he was really in on in TNA, and what was his and what wasn't his. So it's going to be hard to say exactly, other than, you know, he has a very unique brand, or a very unique idealization, I should say, of what wrestling should be. So that could be something to look forward to, but I don't know, especially if this is even going to be on a platform where we can watch it. You know, that's another thing, whether it's streaming services or cable or however he's going to go about trying to get this into the hands of the consumers.
Yeah, I wonder if he's gonna try to use that on-demand service. Or so he can't use on-demand service, he just gets the rights to the tapes, right?
Right.
Is that how that works?
If I remember correctly, yes.
It'd be interesting if how he can, you know, get that going or whatever. If he's going to use any of the old content to drive the show or take matches from or anything like that, or it's just going to be, all right, this is the NWA, but it's my NWA.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm interested. I know it sounds a little silly. I know NWA is not a big name, but I'm really interested in what Billy Corgan has up his sleeve and to find out what he can do without any other interference, without anybody else in his ear telling him you have to do this, and you know, agree on this and don't, you know, whatever. So it'll be interesting. We'll find out in the near future what's going to happen with that. What we don't really know what's going to happen about, Sean, is the fact that the UK show is up in the air still. We don't have any idea. I don't think really WWE has any idea when they will be actually airing TV tapings for the UK show. Original plans were for June to be the start of it, but apparently that has been scrapped completely. I mean, Sean, this is another thing that I'm kind of surprised about. WWE, you thought would have this under control, but now we're back at square one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they put on definitely a good showing for NXT to get hopefully Vince hyped about getting that thing going. I mean, it's a logistical thing, right? Like, you got to figure out where, you know, you're obviously going to tape this in the UK, or you can't really call it the UK show. So, I mean, you got to find somewhere in the UK you can tape regularly. How often are you going to tape? You know, is it going to feel like a product that's dated or that's not? You know, because at least NXT is every month or so. Every 4 weeks, you've got new tapings. There's a lot for them to consider, you know. How are they going to add more people to the roster? Do you want to keep expanding this roster? You know, is that going to happen where these, if you have a show, then these guys possibly run the risk of getting stale. Okay, you gotta start adding more people, and that's more talent you got to pay. And, you know, what do you do with them outside of the show? I mean, they've already got a handle how to deal with them outside of the show. They let them basically do stuff with the other promotions or whatever, but that's a lot for them to figure out, you know. It's a lot of cost. Mm-hmm. More cost than just, you know, doing a WWE story time or whatever. And that's, I don't know, maybe they've, you know, because of the women's tournament going on, maybe they want to get that done now and then figure it out, or I don't know. Just, they were really gung-ho about it, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I mean, you kind of need to put the show out there so people can see it, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just shocking to me that after what they did at TakeOver and after, you know, the incredible product I think they got at the UK special, like, they just keep on delaying this. And like you said, maybe it's logistical. A lot of rumors were going around that they were just going to keep running places that a lot of the UK indies already run out of. So like York Hall or any of the O2 areas that are arenas that Progress runs or stuff like that. So I don't know, to be honest with you, but you want to strike when the iron's hot. So if you can keep producing great matches like this to keep this on the tip of people's tongues, then, you know, go for it until you figure it out. But you got to do it sooner or later. It's one of those crap or get off the pot situations.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, they're missing a huge opportunity right now, especially for fans who are, you know, all of a sudden now interested in the UK championship because of what they saw at TakeOver Chicago. And now they have no place to go see it unless it's NXT. And that's a shame. It really, really is. So let's hope that they get something figured out.
I just hope they don't have a bad idea of going, oh, we could just tape this at Full Sail too.
Yeah.
And just,
could you imagine?
No, I don't want to imagine it, because I can see Vince just saying, well, we got to save money, pal.
Yeah, so. I just seen the ring announcer. Okay, everybody, now I want you to pretend that you're in England. You know, do all your chant, please chant and sing.
Yeah, chant UK even though you're not there.
Yeah, so who knows? I mean, this is.
I mean, heck, you got that crowd in Chicago to chant UK.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else do you want?
Yeah.
to get this thing going.
Exactly. That's the thing, and I hope that they do figure this out sooner than later, because otherwise they're going to have to continue doing these big matches and have great ones to make people start to really consider, you know, moving over there and watching a UK show. So let's talk about something else here that's kind of interesting, and that's what's going on over in the situation that we have with the Matt Hardy situation with the broken, you know, situation, because of the fact that, you know, we saw recently he actually filed for a patent to get, you know, his name and all that, that way that he could keep it, and legally Broken Matt Hardy is his. Apparently that was denied, though. They didn't feel like that he was specific enough in his application, and so now he has up to 6 months to kind of get this back resubmitted to, you know, get that applied for. But apparently what we're hearing is Impact Wrestling actually did send their own, and there's this very much more specific about the character and all the information included. Paul, I mean, should we be concerned for Matt Hardy here in this situation?
So Matt still has 6 months to resubmit something better before his claim is outright dismissed. So he still has time. It's not like this is the end of the world. To me, this reads like, crap, I need to get something in there before Impact does. And he did, and they got around to it finally. So if he manages to get the claim and all that taken care of first, then it's his, right? And if he doesn't, then Impact has something clear and ready to go in the meantime if that does fall through. If I understand copyright law correctly, at least.
This sucks that that happened. I mean, they're really specific about these things. Like, you have to have all your ducks in a row. You have to have everything there for exactly being more civic like Impact Wrestling's, because you have to be able to prove without a shadow of a doubt it's yours. If there's any kind of doubt and you put broad strokes in there, they're going to go, well, anybody could be saying this. So, you know, that's, you got to get those phone calls. You got to get those emails. You got to get all everything. You got to show the tapes. Anything that they have, just, you got to throw it out there. Because, look, this is, y'all made this a big deal now. So, you know, make sure that you don't lose out. I'd hate to see them lose out on this. It sucks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. That'd be a big, huge bummer, I think, for wrestling fans in general. We've seen that the broken gimmick has been kind of held hostage by Impact Wrestling to an extent, and that's a shame. I think a lot of wrestling fans are really wanting to see that back, and if this keeps going on and it lasts years, then that would be a huge, huge sad day. Really quickly here, though, I want to mention something else here. You know, Cody Rhodes apparently is going to be signing with Ring of Honor, and that is, you know, a good thing, I think, for Ring of Honor. They could definitely use that name value. I mean, Paul, I mean, we cover Ring of Honor every week, and we try to, you know, let the people know all the different specifics, but this, to me, is a situation that really does help Ring of Honor.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Obviously, Cody's still a huge name. He's got a lot going on in the promotion. I think he's done some of his best work in there. Obviously, I haven't seen everything he's done out of the indie circuit, but with all the places he's been working, not only here in the States, but internationally as well, and signing this deal with Ring of Honor obviously limits his dates that he can work in the States, for sure. He becomes exclusive to them. He can do PWG, and that's really about it. But he's also signing this because apparently he's still going to be a big part of New Japan plans going forward, and he could still work international dates. So outside of the U.S., he's still free. So if you want to work England again or anywhere in Europe or wherever, right, he could absolutely still do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cody going to ROH, this is the best thing for him. Look, you're going to be booked well in Impact, but are you going to matter? You know, are people going to really bat an eye at the fact that you're there? I mean, Impact is already kind of what it is. So, do you really want to be in a company where, yeah, you know, they're not in danger of going under anymore, but are they going to go anywhere? That's the thing that sort of I think about with Impact is, I mean, yeah, technically we kind of stopped covering it mainly because we know there's things coming down the pipeline that are going to take up more of our time. And you got to start. You can't spend, I mean, we already outlined all the wrestling just WWE has. If we start talking about all the wrestling that, you know, we watch, including the New Japan stuff, and that's more and more hours. So, you know, just, you gotta, all of this is to try to remain relevant. Everything is, how can I still be out there? And that's what Cody Rhodes keeps doing with Twitter, and I think he's, like, he keeps talking about who he wants to wrestle here and wrestle there, and it's also that he keeps his name out there. And I think with ROH, the New Japan connection, with New Japan wanting to become in the United States, and Cody Rhodes could be huge for that. Just with Impact, it's like, okay, well, if they get on, oh, they start doing tours again, oh, they're going to do something with AAA, cool. Maybe Lucha Underground is involved in that, but you know, people watch Lucha Underground, not a whole lot. So, you know, if I'm Cody Rhodes, stick where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, Ring of Honor really does give him those big opportunities. I mean, honestly, he can wrestle, you know, at Wrestle Kingdom, have that experience, get a chance to do all these other great things, and still be a staple here in the States with the Ring of Honor and all this thing. Basically all the things that they get involved in as well. So this is huge. I think it really helps him, and it helps Ring of Honor for sure. I mean, they could definitely use the name value right now with some of their roster kind of, you know, taken off. And of course, you know, you never know in the future, they may even lose other bigger names. You know, we've heard Dalton Castle being a guy that, you know, could move on, and a few other names. So we'll see. Let's talk about this women's tournament that we have been talking about for several weeks now, or maybe even longer than that. We've been speculating all the different things that will be taking place. We're getting more specific ourselves on this. We know a lot more information. What we do know is this is not going to be called a women's tournament. It's going to be actually named the Mae Young Classic, which is kind of cool. I think that's a really good deal. Great name attached to that. Basically, the way this is all going to work out is they are planning on having a three-person booth, which will be kind of interesting as well, because JR is a big name, I think, already kind of, you know, assumed to be attached to this project, along with two other women that will be joining him at ringside. A lot of thought processes, or someone like Renee Young will be involved, and then maybe add a Hall of Famer, you know, Lita Beth Phoenix, someone like Medusa, or, you know, joins on. So we're also, you know, finding out that the actual TV tapings will be July 13th and 14th. That's only 2 days, but that's when it'll be taking place. They'll be airing 3 to 4 episodes a day, and that'll also let you guys know that, you know, tickets are on sale now. So if you want to go, hey, you can go buy the tickets and go check it out. And one last thing to throw in there to let people know more information about this tournament is the fact that this tournament is going to be something that I think a lot of people will be interested in for many various reasons. And, you know, the one thing that we do want to get and give you a heads up on and what is taking place with it is the fact that, you know, they will actually be doing many things, and they'll be getting involved with, you know, different talent out there that you have never seen before. So that's one thing we want to make sure that people understand. But the final that we'll be having is going to be airing live. And so you'll get a chance to see, you know, maybe some new faces and new names, whatever, but there will be a finale that will be live, and it'll be, I think, something special to promote, of course, on Raw, SmackDown, and other places. So there's a lot of opportunities to see a lot of new faces, and of course, maybe have a good, you know, place on the network to point to a live special that people are going to check out. So this is exciting a lot here. I mean, what do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I kind of talked about would they possibly try to include more women in the other sections, you know, to have two women referees, have two female announcers. I think that sort of, you know, it's that whole, again, like the women empowerment thing. showing that women can do other things besides just be the main attractions there. I think that's good in a way. So I don't mind, you know, if Renee Young and, you know, I don't know that I want to hear Lita all the time. Maybe a rotating cast on that wouldn't be bad, but I don't got a problem with it. I mean, it's, I think that that kind of, again, if you want to, obviously you got to think about it. Your hardcore wrestling fans are going to be watching this, but you also have to think about trying to make this appeal to women that also may be wrestling fans, and you know, that could help a bit to show that, hey, we really went the whole way with this.
Yeah, I mean, I got no problem with what they got set out here as far as what's been released. I, once again, like Sean, I mean, Lita's not terrific. And you really want somebody who's knowledgeable about these things, especially because the hardcores are going to be looking for that. And even if the hardcores aren't looking for it, I think anybody who might check it out obviously is going to want to know some background on these women. So I think we talked a little bit about suggestions for this before, but Sarah Amato down in NXT obviously has worked with a lot of these girls before she started training. I think she would be great in this role. Really, I don't know who else you could get that would have that much knowledge unless you have just days and days of research for all the other possible announcers to get in there and digest before this tournament goes down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of things going on here, and it's really interesting. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing how they actually present this when it comes to, you know, mainstream Raw and SmackDown, because I think that they are, you know, really good at promoting things, but are they going to promote it really heavily, or is it going to be a side note? You know what I mean? Because there's so many other things that they do promote. So I think that they need to make it a big deal and make it feel really special. And I think they will, especially with Mae Young's name attached to this. Vince, you know, we all know was, you know, really endearing towards Mae Young. And I think he's going to want this to have as much class as it can. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So there you go.
Yeah, I just wonder how they're going to do this taping it all in like two nights thing. That's, I hope that that's just one of those things that gets changed eventually, because, man, that's just really unfair to the wrestlers to do that big of a tournament that it's going to go for that long in two nights.
Mm-hmm. Better, you know, maybe bring cases and cases of Monster Energy drinks, I hope. So I'm just teasing. No, that really is unfair, especially since the other tournament was not like that. And this is kind of a, I don't want to say brushed together, but it's almost like they feel like, hey, this is going to save us money. Let's just do this two nights, take care of it, and then get move on, you know. But who knows the thought processes that they have. But yeah, let's go ahead, and we are done with quick hits tonight. So that means that we've got to go over to New Japan Talk. That's right. We are still talking about Best of the Super Juniors.
We're not talking Ryback anymore?
Give us the information on Ryback. I did not actually see that in our doc. I may have missed that.
His thing is long. It's from his podcast.
Go ahead.
Basically, it's just him sort of giving his take on indie wrestling and how they do too much, and they're going to wind up hurting wrestling for themselves and then for other people, and that they're hurting wrestling as a whole because the newer fans are sort of expecting that you're going to do 50 moves and not sell it and whatever. You know, the general things that we hear a lot of when it comes to indie wrestling. The Young Bucks, that kind of thing. And then him sort of relating it to WWE, where, like, well, at least with WWE, that's why they slow it down and all that, because it doesn't fly there. And it's why it feels like he sort of alludes almost to 205 Live, why that's not doing well, because people don't really want to see that there and that kind of thing. That's sort of interesting in a way. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of his take on that, which I don't think he's wrong. It's just, you know, one of our guys in the, you know, wrestling chat, he hit this perfectly in that every part of the world that you go see wrestling, it's different, you know, and they expect different things. So I feel, I mean, I think obviously he's only speaking for WWE in a way as far as what it relates to indie wrestling. But still, I mean, even WWE is showing that they can have different styles on their show.
A lot of what Ryback talks about, too, is selling on the independent circuit, and that enough people don't do it well enough to where they're filling, instead of letting somebody sell something, they're throwing on three or four extra moves that aren't necessary, and it sort of ruins wrestling in that way, that their selling is becoming a sort of a lost art, even though he doesn't exactly say that, but that in doing it less and trying to fill more with more spots, you're going to end up hurting yourselves and you're going to hurt the business and all these other things, because he wants it to still look legitimate with bigger guys. And I don't know exactly all the places Ryback has been working, but at the same time, when you're working indie shows, even promotion to promotion has a different style. Here in the States, let alone when you get outside of it in Canada, Mexico, and Japan, and England, and Europe, and all the other places of the world where wrestling is becoming a thing. I mean, Evolve, you see it even in the indie, like you take the big ones, Evolve is more usually geared more towards grappling. Chikara is sports entertainment, Lucha Libre, essentially, with a crazy, insane, deep backstory. PWG is very much the flippy indie, with your big guys in there too every once in a while, and just, you know, places all over the country have different styles. You look here in Dallas, there's two very different promotions, three or more that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sure the same goes in Chicago and New York and Nowhere, Arizona, and, you know, wherever else you can find this stuff. So it's not just that selling is losing. And he does have a point there. There is less selling in the indies, but that's because the expectation is different to people who go to those shows. So, I mean, he has a point and it has a merit, but it's not, it doesn't fit all of independent wrestling, because you can't fit all of independent wrestling under one label. That's the point.
You can't fit all of wrestling in one label, just period, because then you wouldn't be able to have just all the different kinds of wrestling that Paul pointed out. I mean, even in Japan, you still have the deathmatch stuff. And it, like, they can have variety shows on their shows. Like, they can have crazy stuff like DDT, and you can have awesome wrestling, and then you can have a deathmatch on there, and you can have something else going on. I mean, that's what's, like, the beauty of it, is that it's a variety show, and you can have so many things. And I feel like you lose that when you're saying, okay, well, everything has to be homogenous and everything has to be the same. And everybody, I mean, I get him on the selling. I think that's totally true. And I do think that people need to do more of that. And I mean, we noted when Nakamura was doing it more, and that from going to NXT and all that stuff, it's important having reasons why this move is being done and making it mean something to the next part of the match or whatever. That all is very important, and it gets lost. And so hopefully, you know, I just don't want to see, like, okay, well, you're not really going to learn that until you get to WWE or something like that, or New Japan. Like, if you're in an indie, this is how it's always going to be. Hopefully that change can come and things can be different. But Ryback trying to make one generalization for how wrestling is supposed to be, it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And in fact, I would probably hate wrestling if it was all just this one thing.
Yeah. I agree. I think the nice thing about wrestling is it has so much variety. There's so much to offer everyone, right? Even just in general, you know, if you just want to point at WWE alone, they have so many guys with different styles and different ways of doing things. They kind of have their own formula, but yet they still have those guys that are from various backgrounds, various styles. Same with New Japan, same with Ring of Honor. All these companies have those opportunities to showcase different types of talent that wrestle in, you know, many various fashions. So I think it's important. It's a nice piece to have. And, yeah, there are some things that aren't perfect on the indie circuit, but, hey, WWE is definitely not perfect. And no other promotion is perfect. It's just the way you look at it. The whole thing is selective. It really is. It's, you know, there's 31 flavors, and you get to choose which one flavor, or if you like six of those flavors, or you like all 31, that's your choice, right? So that's what's nice about wrestling. You have those options. It's not like watching basketball where you're just kind of like, well, you know, there's a handful of offenses to watch, and that's it. If I don't like it, I hate basketball, then if I don't like any of that, right? It's different wrestling.
You could predict the finals.
Yeah, basically.
From before the thing even started. So.
Well, we all know in the NBA, it's all predetermined anyway. So.
God.
You just watch the draft lottery, you guys will understand. But anyway, let's talk about something else besides basketball. But I think Ryback, once again, he has his rights to his opinion. I don't want anyone to think we're not giving him his due. He deserves his own time. Everybody, all these other wrestling podcasts, Jim Ross, Jericho, Austin, they all have their own opinions about things. And hey, we even have ours, but that's what's fun about having a podcast. You get to share it. And of course, we'd love to hear your feedback. So let us know what you think. Do you agree with Ryback, or do you think that, you know, Ryback's an idiot? How do you feel? Or do you think he's half true? I don't know. But yeah, let us move on, though. We do have Best of the Super Juniors to jump into, so let's go ahead and do that right after this.
King of Sport. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Sorry, I forgot that was me. Good.
No problem. See, live things, you get fun stuff like this sometimes. Best Super Juniors Night 6 was on Tuesday, and you had back to Block A action here. Paul's going to be the one talking about the matches more than me, as he got to watch these shows. I haven't really gotten to be able to sit down and watch the matches for the most part. So Marty Scurll beats Taka in under 10 minutes by submission. What do you think?
This was just sort of there. It's very light. They're doing the usuals. It's not like they're going out of their way to try to put on a show here. Especially, like I said, these smaller shows on the tour are going to be where they're more likely to take time off. And this felt like this is what it was a match off. We're just working towards the result. And of course, that's going to be Marty beating Taka here.
Then you get the other old man, Jushin Thunder Liger, taking on Will Ospreay. This was looks like a good match. But Jushin Thunder Liger, no points, and now he is officially eliminated from the tournament. So you got Tenzan being eliminated early, and you get Liger not even getting points. They don't even tease you. What do you think about?
Tenzan got a couple of wins to at least make you think maybe he could, you know, make it to where he was going to be a force of matter. They didn't even pretend with Liger. It's just he's getting beat, he's out. To be fair, though, this match was really good. I enjoyed this a lot. It just really sucks that Liger, he might not even get a win now. Like, it doesn't matter anymore for him. So, if it doesn't matter, why have him win anything? Unless you're going to carry over into a story, and it just doesn't look like that's the point with Liger here anymore. I will say he's put on some great matches, though. This match with Ospreay was really fun. Liger continues to just look super motivated and trying to, if the goal here is for him to put over everybody he's in the ring with, A-plus job on that so far, Liger.
Just sad that he didn't even get wins. But even more sad is Taichi wrestling Hiromu Takahashi, and, well, that's all I got to say.
At least he didn't win.
It's a Taichi match.
He didn't win. Yes. That's all that matters. That's all we need to say. He didn't win, and the match sucks, as you would imagine, even though Hiromu tries his hardest. It just wasn't meant to be because Taichi is awful. So we can move on. Talking about him hurts my soul.
Hey, but at least you end the night with a really good Ricochet and Dragon Lee match.
This has sort of been the same quality as a lot of the main events on these smaller shows, where it's still really good. It's just not them going the extra mile to go out of their way and put on 4 to 4.5 star matches that you're looking for them to have. And there's a lot of great energy in this. There's a lot of great flippies if you're into that. They still tell a story. Ricochet gets to work a little bit more reckless than I think we're used to seeing him, because obviously that's what Dragon Lee does. And they sort of push the limits a little bit on that, but Lee gets the big win, and I've enjoyed his run in this tournament so far. He's been one of the guys to watch every single time he's out there.
Yeah, he has. He's been awesome so far in this tournament. Ricochet's been really good himself, too, so
yeah.
At least they knew which match to end things on with here. And we'll give the standings here at the end. But night 7, back to Block B action. You get Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Tiger Mask 4. Kanemaru hits that deep impact after hitting the heel tactics on Tiger Mask. And yeah, Suzuki gonna get more wins. Now 6 points for Kanemaru too.
Lots of Taka in this match, and to be fair, I think the Suzuki gun interference makes sense here because Tiger Mask has been on a freaking tear in the tournament so far. Kanemaru's up against him. It sort of makes sense to have some of the Suzuki gun shenanigans in here. You could say it was overkill if you want, and that's fine, because even after the match, they beat him up and rip off his mask. So, you know, Suzuki Gun, Ichiban, or whatever.
I was going to say, you know, we already had Desperado, you know, put something up Taguchi's ass. I guess it wouldn't be too much of a stretch for them to, you know, beat somebody off too. So,
would that constitute a face turn? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's best not to think about that too much.
So, Volador and El Desperado going at it. Volador gets the win. Desperado finally getting that loss.
I like this match a lot, too. Volador, having already fallen victim a little bit to some of Suzuki Gun shenanigans, is one step ahead of it all here. Especially whenever Despy decides to go low or something like that, he just either casually moves out of the way or finds a way to fight out of it. And even Desperado taps at one point to when the referee doesn't notice, so that Volador releases submission. And it's a really fun match. Volador gets the much needed win, and looks like he's probably going to be the one to make the late push to win the block or be in contention for it at the very least.
And you get Taguchi taking on Bushi, and Bushi finally gets his big first win. So that's glad to see Bushi's not going to win up with 0 points.
This is a really interesting match, too, because there's different levels of juniors in this, right? You have a lot of the new guys who are doing especially well, like Dragon Lee. You have guys who have been there for a bit, like Bushi and Kushida, who are pretty much here for just falling victim left and right, and then you have the old timers who are surprisingly doing well for themselves, unless your name's Jushin Thunder Liger. So On that end, you're sort of left wondering what's going to happen in this, and Bushi just happens to be able to keep fighting back against Taguchi. And this is one I was really looking forward to as well, with all the Taguchi Japan versus LIJ stuff. And they play well off a lot of that here, even though they're not swinging for a home run, but they do swing for a good match.
I mean, that's what's good. You want at least good matches in this thing, because if you're taking the time to watch it all, you want to know that it's worth the time. And then Kushida and ACH, they have a pretty good match to close Block B for the turn. And ACH wins. So Kushida gets that win against Bushi, a former foe, but then he goes back to losing again.
This is a super, super smartly worked match, because it's pretty much ACH and Kushida trying not to be the one that makes the mistake, because it's cost them victories already. And despite all of that, Kushida's new finisher, the God's Last Gift, the small package fisherman suplex, does not come through for him here. ACH has it well scouted, and ends up just absolutely destroying him with a lariat and a Michinoku driver. And this is really good. I would recommend this. Both main events from these shows are worth your time, especially if you're a fan of ACH in this one, too, because he's awesome here in Japan. I can't get enough of him. I hope he sticks around.
Yeah, let's hope for ACH to stick around. He fits. It'd be a great junior for them to have, just, you know, even working the six-mans and eight-mans and everything. I totally agree on that. I really want him to stay there, you know, not go to be in 205 Live and be on that stuff. I mean, look, he's going to be great on anything he's on, so I'm not going to say it's bad, but love for him to stay here and broaden his horizons a bit here. So Block A winds up with a three-way tie for first right now. Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay, and Dragon Lee at 6 points. Ricochet, Takahashi, and Taichi all have 4. And then Taka has 2, and Liger has 0. And now eliminated from the tournament. And then you have Block B, which is Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru at 6. So Suzuki Gun ruling there. Taguchi and Tiger Mask and Volador all have, and ACH all have 4 points. And then you got Kushida and Bushi with 2. So they're keeping everybody close. And that one, everybody still, you know, can logistically win or do something major. So Block B a little bit, you know, not like Liger, who's eliminated. You got everybody involved. Normal parody booking here for Ghetto so far. So
we're also officially halfway through the tournament now after day 7. Your predictions at all still alive for a finale here, Sean?
Well, I don't think Kushida can get the points that a lot of us had him getting. He might be able to get 10. I don't think he can get 12 at this point. But I feel like Kushida's still set up for some big run, especially with Block B being Kanemaru and Despy. And, you know, the Block A kind of rounded out the way we thought. Like, the top four, I think people had is they're going to be close throughout.
Yeah, I mean, Taichi and has won more than I already thought he was. I only thought he was going to get the one victory, and Liger is way under. But everybody else is about where I thought as far as Block A goes. I don't think anybody thought that Suzuki Gun members in Block B were going to do as well as they have. So that's a bit of a shocker, as well as Tiger Mask already having 4 points too. So, I mean, there's still lots of great matches to look forward to, but the standings for me, especially in Block B, have been, they're going down a lot differently than I thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they would both have 6 points, but I didn't think they would be this early. I thought it would just be at the end. And look, granted, they could just lose out completely after this too. But interesting that you know, that's kind of all that's just so quickly happening with these guys. So interesting what's going to happen once again. They start with Block A again later, if it's not happening now, later in a couple of hours. So
yeah.
Well, there you go. Awesome. Well, great stuff from you guys from Super Juniors, and I'm looking forward to really getting a chance to see those finals take place. Let us move on, though, because we have one last thing to do tonight, and I'm excited about it, and I hope everyone else is, too. And that means we are going to crown a Superstar of the Week this week. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and do that right now.
I don't have that track, so just jump right into it.
All right, since you don't, we will move on here and talk about the guy that got 1 point from us. And it's not because it's not important, but it's because it's a guy that, you know, didn't have the best match. So we'll just be honest with you. But he did have an important thing here, and that is Mr. Jinder Mahal getting a point from us this week.
Yeah, I mean, nobody gave this guy a shadow of a chance in hell of walking away with that world championship. And there he does. He does it. The match with Randy wasn't phenomenal or anything like that. It wasn't even very good. But he beats the odds. He gets the championship. And they at least seem semi-serious and letting him run with it for at least a month. So 1 point for Jinder for breaking the odds, I guess.
The Maharaja got something out of it.
Oh, for the Maharaja.
So, and before we get out of here, we are going to talk a little Jinder Mahal. But anyway, we got 2 points, though, Sean, heading over to Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Kevin Owens had a great match with AJ for that U.S. title, and he technically won on the count out. So, you know, and then he also had on SmackDown, he was part of the tag match, even though, you know, both, even though, you know, his team did not win. Still put on a pretty good performance there, too.
Promote is winning into Money in the Bank as well. Hats off to him there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big deal.
I'm looking forward to that. He is now the sixth member of that Money in the Bank challenge. Let's talk.
Hold on, Gary. You are not on. You weren't on the SmackDown this week. How do you feel about a women's Money in the Bank?
Actually, I don't have a problem with that. I really never have. I know some people say, well, you know, it just doesn't work. I don't know. I think actually it could. Now, to be honest with you, I think for me it'd be more exciting if it was between both Raw and SmackDown. I just am not thrilled right now with the situation with the SmackDown Women's Division. I just, that does not excite me. I hate to say it that way. It just does not. You know, there's very little of care when it comes to a lot of those talent, and you know, Carmella, Tamina, I mean, those are not big names that you're just like rooting for. You're not really rooting for Natalya. Becky Lynch is kind of someone you could root for, so it makes it hard to really care about that match unless you were to mix up both Raw and SmackDown. So but yeah, I mean, I think they should do it eventually. I don't know when they will, but they should do it. What did you guys think? I mean, I didn't get a chance to check out the SmackDown. Did you guys agree with that, or did y'all?
If I remember correctly, we were both for it. It was more us talking about why they haven't done it yet, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I mean, on that show, did not think about, well, they could just name a contender and actually have two women's matches, because it's not like SmackDown actually has to use their women as a way to have matches a lot more often, because they are so, their talent is very thin. Mm-hmm. So it's either like they'll have two tag matches or two women's matches, and this is one of those times where if you can have a title match and you can have a women's Money in the Bank match, but would you want to have two ladder matches every year going forward? Now they don't have to have this every year. It could be just one off. But normally when they start something like this, they try to make it a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like you said, it's just the fact that the rosters are not really that strong when it comes to that, at least that division alone. So It's not interesting enough, I think, until they do strengthen them. Or they mix brands to have, you know, power packet. I'll save the Jinder Mahal stuff. I was going to go back, but I'm not. Let's go ahead and talk about the fact that we've got Authors of Pain getting 3 points from us this week.
Absolutely awesome main event on NXT TakeOver with hashtag DIY. I'm a big fan of these guys. I think they don't get enough credit, and they absolutely deserve every bit of these 3 points for retaining those championships.
Yeah, and I got to give them all the credit in the world because they made my boy Ciampa a single star now. So I got to give them love for that. You know, I just hate to do it. Kushida is getting 2 points from us this week, Sean.
Yeah, Kushida had, you know, a fantastic match with Bushi, and he also had a pretty good match with ACH as well. So hats off to him for having two terrific matches in the Best Super Juniors.
We are going to crown our Superstar of the Week now, and here he is, the guy that got 5 points from us, the guy that we think deserves it most of all this week, Pete Dunne.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch TakeOver, you know why. That match with Tyler Bate was absolutely all kinds of awesome, hard-hitting, fast-paced, everything I think people are looking for these days as far as that kind of audience, at least. And Pete Dunne wins the match, and he's just awesome. He's can't miss on WWE television or Progress or Attack or whatever promotion he's in. If you're not watching him, you're missing out.
For sure. I'm quickly becoming a big fan of Pete Dunne, and more and more as I watch him. So definitely go check out Pete Dunne wherever he is. But yeah, he is our Superstar of the Week this week, and I don't think this is the last time this guy's going to be on our list. Trust me, I think a lot more in the future. Well, there you go. Before we get out of the show, though, I did want to talk about something, and it's something that Sean had brought up, and we were kind of debating, you know, do we really want to get into it more? And I know you two probably talked about it on SmackDown somewhat, but, you know, Jinder Mahal is the WWE champion now, and for the fact that, you know, we have this situation where WWE really wants to hit the Indian market really heavy, they want them to have a champion, and this move may have been partly for that, but I think they also had some other ideas in place why they gave Jinder Mahal this opportunity to become WWE champion. I just got to know from you guys, do you think that this is going to be something that's going to be, I'm not talking about a long tenure, but it's going to be a little bit of a time that he gets to run with the championship. But not only that, do you think it's going to have any impact on just the WWE alone, or do you think it's more about the Indian impact?
What do you think, Sean?
He did officially get merch now. Because that was something I was going to bring up, is that he is a WWE champion. He doesn't have merch. Let's see if the people that are, you know, going bonkers about it on Twitter are actually going to buy these shirts. Because I think that's what they're going to have to rely on, is all these, you know, smark trolls that are loving this thing of Jinder winning and Jinder mania and don't hinder him and all that stuff. Not that it's bad. I think I like it. I like the fact that they're giving him an opportunity. This is definitely for India, though. Let's be honest. This is all about they want to be in India. They want to be big in India. And look, to be honest, you're going after a market that is huge for you. You're not just sitting here placating to like the minority or whatever. You're doing something for a country that you have a TV deal coming up in. You need to do something great for that to get the numbers moving. Great Khali did it when he was a champion and just being a character on WWE TV, and Jinder can do that too, whether he's Canadian also or not. I mean, look, I'm not Indian, so I don't know. I can't tell you how I feel about or how they feel about, oh, well, he's not really full-blooded Indian or whatever. And, you know, you do have the people that say, oh, well, The Rock's not completely black. I don't count him as a black world champion. I want him to be, you know, so I can kind of get that point, right? Because, you know, it being part of the Latino community is so weird, because we just, anytime there's a Latino that does anything, yes, Latino power, he did it. Like, yeah, whatever. I mean, we also had Eddie, right? So he did, like, stand up for everybody, and Ray, and every, so we got a huge share of that. But, you know, just, I think that we shouldn't really care about where the guy's from and whether he's however much Indian he is or whether he is or not, or like, that's a really cool moment for him to go from literally doing nothing to being world champion and now getting to make the most of it. And he's front page news in India. I mean, that's big.
I think if you listen to the video that had been going around on social media of the the announcers from India, whenever he's celebrating after he wins the championship is really all you need. Like, sure, they have the WWE in their ear, but they legitimately seemed really happy to see Jinder win, and they just freak out for about 2 minutes. It's awesome. You're right.
Like when the Spanish announcers go crazy for a goal in soccer or whatever.
Maybe
cool.
Not as enthusiastic, but certainly certainly very loud, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean totally nailed this, right? I mean, this is totally a move designed to spike interest in India and all that good stuff. But just looking at it here on the home front, too, like, WWE needs more stars, and this is sort of what SmackDown does, is they give you a try with whatever they think they can do to make sure you're going to be a name for them. And if this creates another guy for them to use, maybe not in the main event, but in somewhere in the mid card or something like that, that would allow them to elevate somebody else, then why not, man? I mean, you won't know what these guys can do unless you give them a shot, and this is what they're doing at the very least. So good on WWE for taking a shot in the dark.
And it's the summer too. It's kind of when they tend to do stuff like this, you know, before SummerSlam. Do you worry at all though that, like, as soon as they announced that main event, the ticket sales kind of just almost froze for Backlash?
I think it was because, I don't know if it was because it was Jinder or if it was because Randy Orton versus Jinder just doesn't sound all that entertaining, and it didn't on paper, but, or maybe they just thought Jinder was going to get rolled over. They weren't going to see anything competitive, as far as the main event goes. And that's all very valid reasons to not want to go to a show, but I don't know. They're heading into a pay-per-view now that's headlined by something much more exciting. So, I mean, at least there's that, but I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Like, time is going to tell for Jinder. And they gave him a legitimate shot on this first week on SmackDown.
Yeah, I thought he passed as far as the celebration, and they made it a big deal. So, you know, again, and he was getting dual chance at the pay-per-view, of course, Chicago. So,
right.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. But, you know, it's... Mm-hmm. There's interest there. I didn't really hear much of a reaction when the celebration was going on, though, so
yeah,
that may not be...
Well, they can fix that in post.
Well, I mean, yeah, certainly when it's on the network, they can, or on Hulu, but... Like, you know, this isn't the biggest deal in the world, because then in July, when the Money in the Bank happens, or June, technically, sorry, in June, and Money in the Bank, they could just give it back to Orton and go, okay, well, we tried.
Mm-hmm.
No,
they could.
It's not like, oh my god, the world ended because Jinder's now champion for 6 months. I mean, they could fix this really quick.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. And I'm, you know, and sitting here thinking to myself, okay, so this is great for India, and is it so great for WWE? And I don't think it's bad for WWE. I think it's really honestly kind of a good thing to have a new face as a champion, that way you can start some more feuds for the championship belt, but not have the same feuds over and over and over again. So that's a good thing, and I think it's kind of exciting as well. So, I mean, we'll have to watch you know, the Indian audience and see how they're reacting and see if they're actually buying up all the merchandise along with the U.S. Is the U.S. buying up a lot of Jinder's, you know, stuff? Are they really enjoying him in general, or is this just a kind of a flash in the pan? We'll have to find that out. But we'll continue to get in, you know, and research, you know, what Jinder Mahal is doing on other fronts besides just, you know, in the U.S. So, but yeah, it's interesting, you know, to see how this is all shaking out and to see where we'll be going in the future, especially with a guy like Jinder Mahal as a WWE champion. That is our show for the night, guys. We've had a lot of fun, lots of great talk. I mean, we've had some good news topics. We had Best of the Super Juniors that we got involved in, and, of course, crowned a Superstar of the Week. We've had a big one for you guys this week. Of course, don't forget to come and check out next week's episodes, which will have some great content for you. We're looking forward to that. We don't want you to miss a minute of the action. So to do that, make sure you go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max. Go rate and review it. Also, if you love the W2MNet.com family, go check out the W2M Network. That'll get you everything besides just our show. Also, you know, go check out W2MNet.com if you haven't already. Maybe hear us talk about it every week, mention it, but you just haven't gotten on the computer. Hey, go do it. You can get to do it on your phone if you want. Just go check it out, because trust me, once you get there, you start looking around, you're going to get probably get into something that you're not going to want to miss out on. You're thinking, man, I should have been doing this a long time ago. So go check out that website. It's great. Looking forward to you going and doing that. But yeah, we are finished here. So I am Gary Vaughn. Of course, you know, that was Mr. Paul Leeser, Mr. Sean Garmer. And until next time, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Please.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2MNet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.